Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 8:06 on O'Connor and Company. Thanks for listening on this Monday morning where the snow is melting away before our eyes, and it's a beautiful thing to witness. Give me my green grass again. Julie Gunlock's here all morning long. You got your one little postcard that you could take your picture of. Now
yeah,
drop it.
You've been ruining it all morning.
No, and let me just say
this
something.
This is the kind of snow that's good.
If that freaking groundhog sees his shadow, I am going to go up to Pennsylvania and drop kick that. I'm going to go full Bill de Blasio on that groundhog. That's right. I'll kill him.
Oh my God.
The groundhog.
Oh, God.
Got a little drastic.
It's a little far.
There's a little much. This is what I do for Critter News.
Yeah.
Personally kill the groundhog. I'm done with winter. All right. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. Hey, look, it's James Rosen. After that threat of violence, it's time to bring in a voice of reason. He's the chief White House correspondent at Newsmax, James Rosen. Hello, James.
So good to be back with you. You're very kind to have me back. And sorry about my previous absences. The full story of my escape from the narco-terrorists will have to await the Netflix docuseries. But here, in this setting, I'm content simply to assure you there will be no recurrences. And
thank God. Anyway, I was afraid that El Chapo was going to make a skin suit out of you.
Oh,
so you have survived, and we're ready to move forward. Listen, the debt limit. Boy, talk about an inside the Beltway conversation. How about that debt limit negotiation? But this actually is—it's going to be quite a moment. This is Kevin McCarthy's chance to sort of show how he's going to do things differently than his predecessors.
It is, but unfortunately for Speaker McCarthy, he enters this meeting after an extraordinary series of events that culminated in his seizing the Speaker's gavel. Which served in the eyes of many observers to weaken the institution of the speakership itself, certainly in terms of his dealings with people in his own party and how instantaneously he can be called to a no-confidence vote and so on. So Speaker McCarthy enters perhaps from a weaker perspective than, let's say, many of his predecessors would have enjoyed in a comparable meeting.
If I could, James, I want to push back on that a little bit. Maybe this strengthens Kevin McCarthy. Maybe Kevin McCarthy can sit down with Joe Biden and he can say, listen, gone are the days of me going into a back room with you and Schumer and coming up with something and then me forcing my caucus to vote for it. No, we're not doing that anymore. So that's off the table. Here's what we're doing. We're going through a regular budget process. We're going to go through a regular appropriations process because that's what the Constitution calls for and the House rules call for. My hands are tied. I don't have any leeway here because of the House rules. So now let's start negotiating in good faith. Maybe he's stronger because of the limitations on him.
Well, in essence, the argument there would be that the House Freedom Caucus and the other tormentors of Kevin McCarthy for much of January served, in essence, to stiffen his spine. And that may prove true. Mm. We've already heard from the White House in the form of a memo that was issued this week by two of President Biden's top economic advisors that among the first two questions that the president intends to put to the speaker is, when do you plan to release your budget? So those are standards that the speaker potentially, as you suggest, can use to hold Mr. Biden accountable. But they're also, by the same token, measures by which the speaker will have to be held accountable, including by his own conference.
Yeah.
So, James, interested in your thoughts on Biden announcing that he's going to end the COVID emergency, but not till May. What's significant about that month and May 11th, I think? Why then? And why not now when he was at that auto show saying the COVID is over? What's the thinking?
There have been indications that the administration, Julie, has been prepared to end the COVID declaration of emergency as early as last year, that by the end of the year. The Biden administration has continually extended it. The simple reasoning for this is that when there is a declared state of emergency, which, of course, the Biden administration inherited from the Trump administration and the early days of the pandemic, there are a whole variety of federal rules that can be suspended or implemented, which make it easier to basically get money out the door and take other steps including seizures of authority here and there. It gets very intricate, and I wouldn't attempt to assay it in morning drive time radio, but it does provide certain
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Logistical advantages to an administration.
Yeah, greater power, greater power. That's all you need to say.
The administration has been sorry to see it go.
Unilateral power. I'll be honest with you, James Rosen. James Rosen is with us, Chief White House Correspondent for Newsmax. Debt ceiling, House rules, negotiations, COVID policies, kind of a waste of James Rosen's intellect. Can we move on to this? Back in 1971, John Lennon appeared on the Dick Cavett Show. And it's an amazing, legendary interview. But for some reason, this little one-minute snip is going viral right now, James. Listen.
I want to know how you, as a woman, feel about overpopulation in the world and its relation to polluting the environment.
How does Yoko feel about overpopulation? As a woman, I believe.
Well, I think the problem is not overpopulation, as people believe to be, but it's more of the balance of things. What, you know, like food... Some part of the world is wasted of food, and in some parts, you know, nobody has food. And that kind of a balance, if that is solved, I don't think we would be worried so much about overpopulation.
I think it's a bit of a joke the way people have made this overpopulation thing into a kind of myth. I don't really believe it, you know. I think whatever happens will balance itself out and work itself out. It's all right for us all living saying, oh, well, there's enough of us, so we won't have any more. Don't let anybody else live. I don't believe in that. I think we've got enough food and money to feed everybody. And I think the natural balance, even though old people will last longer, I'm sure there's enough room for us. And some of them can go to the moon anyway.
You mean you think there's enough, if it were
Yeah, I don't believe overpopulation, you know. I think that's just a kind of myth that government has thrown out to keep your mind off Vietnam and Ireland and all the important subjects.
Oh, I think you're wrong about that.
Oh, I don't care.
The best part. But James, you know, a lot of people think of John Lennon if they don't actually look at what he said and the way he approached a lot of issues, especially his Playboy interview right before his death. And they just think he's a long-haired peace and love hippie. But he was much more of an iconoclast than that. And he had very more nuanced views on things like overpopulation there.
Well, first, let me say how tickled I am that when we discuss politics, an invitation you dispense to me weekly, we are engaged in the wasting of my intellect.
Okay, well, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way. When you put it that way, James.
To think that I bothered to come up with a lie about the narco-terrorist kidnapping. So anyway, on the Beatles, I think, John Lennon and the other Beatles were northern lads. They came from Liverpool, not London. And there was a certain innate conservatism, I think, on this that inheres on the streets of Liverpool, which were tough places, especially after the war. And I don't think John Lennon was easily categorizable, even as a radical, which, after all, wound up simply as a phase for him. Yeah. I think it's dangerous waters to tread to try and discern all the political implications and ramifications of the Beatles and their legacy. It's better off tapping your toe, if you ask me.
Well done. But I got to say, our mutual friend and our radio host, Eric Hunter, actually turned me on to that Playboy interview. The interview. I read it for the articles. Some of the things he had to say.
I wrote there many times. I wrote five times for them.
Did you really?
The Playboy interview with Dick Cheney, which turned out, I kid you not, to be the most popular feature in the history of Playboy magazine, as the content was picked up by Playboy's own tally. in 650 million outlets.
Even more popular than the girls of the SEC?
Now you can just say you're a fan of James Rosen when you look at Playboy.
Exactly. I'm just looking at the James Rosen articles. Yeah. That interview, people should read that interview, the things that he has to say about homeschooling, the things he has to say about virtue signaling by artists who do these big fundraising concerts when they're actually not doing anything. It's really enlightening.
Well, it's interesting that Sean Lennon is also shown to be quite
independent
open.
Thinker. Yes. An independent thinker. Which
heterodox
like
about these
dad.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And you know who else is
an independent? Well, he likes to be called Sean Ono Lennon.
We must,
as Beatle freaks, enforce this kind of regulation. But yes, Sean Ono Lennon has been an extraordinary critic of mainstream media in the United States. It's been interesting to watch unfold on Twitter.
James Rosen, always good to talk to you, and I'm glad you escaped the narco terrorists.
Thank you so much.
We're in our prayers. Absolutely. We can take the yellow ribbons down now. It's 8:15 WMAL traffic and weather.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.